Welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincent Sandy. Welcome everyone welcome to New York, Los Angeles, Santa Monica, San Francisco, and everyone here in Bangkok, Thailand, Italy, Europe, Mexico, China, everywhere from the world listening to this radio show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's topic, Meditation 101. This is like a huge course shrinked into 1 hour session here on BBS Radio, based on the teachings and techniques of Kriya Yoga, obviously. Just a jump start, you know, like the first level of Kriya Yoga meditation, all just given up to you right now. And of course, if you can't absorb all the information all at once, then no problem. Just come back here on this radio, download the episode, listen to it again and again and again until you get all the information. You start with one thing, you move on to the next, you experiment, you have a sense of what's happening within you, you understand what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and you move on. Independence on the spiritual path is absolutely important, even though it is absolutely necessary, 100%, to have a teacher, to have a proper teacher. And I'm not the only teacher, obviously, and there are teachers that are probably much better than I am, but doesn't not matter. What I got, I think is great, and I'm going to share it with you with great joy and enthusiasm. First of all, let me remember you also. If you want to call and have a session with me online, what does it mean having a session with me online? I will explain you after I give you the number, which is 888-815-9756. Toll free everywhere, 888-815-9756. Having a session with me online means that you come here with a question, and your question has to be about your life, whatever it is, and then we're going to try to go into that and see what kind of practical things you could do, practical and mystical action you can take in order to take changes, to have changes into your life. And what I want to say is basically you have to become a master of your life. You have to become a master of yourself. I'm not going to give you a quick fix. I'm not going to tell you, well, this is what your life is about and that's it. Thank you for calling. I want you to explore your infinite potential within you using mystical practices and techniques to gain awareness, understanding of who you are, understanding of your potential, and then use it. Use it. Because, you know, I don't want to have a bunch of followers that don't think for themselves. You know what I mean? So what is important is, if tomorrow I'm not going to be here anymore, of course I'm going to be here, but if tomorrow I will not, or tomorrow somebody else will not be there for you, you have to be ready to use the tools that you have learned to go on in life, to gain greater awareness, to live your dream, than to give up your dream and to live the dream of God. So this is the most important thing for me. This is what is part of my mission. So if you want to call, you just talk about something, a particular issue in your life. We try to understand what is the biggest picture behind it. And from there, we try to understand how we can soften the karma, how we can overcome it, what are the techniques that you could do to break the cycle, or my personal suggestion for you, okay? So you're welcome to call, and you're welcome to go to my website, www.joycelestial.com. Let me say that again, www.joycelestial.com. Joy as the joy, celestial is coming from the heaven, joycelestial.com. Just go there, sign up for my newsletter, which you will start to receive quite early, but it's not going to be one of the insistent newsletters that you find usually on the internet. It's going to be just going to be sent out to you when it's necessary. And you can also sign up for your free account and have access to audio recordings, archives, teachings, and excerpts from my books. So please just go there, sign up, and have fun, okay? Let's start with our topic today. First of all, Meditation 101 in the Path of Kriya Yoga. So first of all, what is meditation? What is meditation? Well, meditation can be divided into two phases, into two sects, let's say. The first phase is a meditation practice. second phase is a meditation state, meditation way of being. A meditation practice is only the tool, and it has only the aim to bring you to the meditation state. Okay? What is the meditation state then? It's not really a state, because it goes beyond the state. It's a transcendental, I can explain this for you later. It's a transcendental state of high awareness that finds you in total absorption with the infinite, with God, with your true self, with the oneness that is at the base of all life. So that is the meditation state. But at a high level, so we're talking about when you really have transcended all the angular energies that are disturbing your perceptions of the infinite, okay? But at a lesser level, meditation is just effortless absorption into one thing, which is the object of meditation. For example, if you meditate on one aspect of God, which could be peace, then you totally get absorbed into it with effortlessly, and that is when you achieve a state of meditation that is totally, totally relaxed. So, meditation is a total absorption in one of the aspects of God. And what else do we do? When we meditate, we need to use a technique, a practice in order to get there. Even though we're talking about gaining a spiritual aspect of ourselves, something that is already inherent within us, within our nature, what we need to do is to understand that to get there, we need a technique. Why? Simply because we are totally out of tune with our universal source, usually. Or we are in tune because, anyway, the universal source is always there trying to tell us something. And there's a part of ourselves that knows. But we are not consciously in tune 24 hours a day with it. And sometimes only just for small glimpses. What we need to do is to bring consciously that infinite part of ourselves into our daily lives. We need to bring heaven on earth consciously. Now, people say, well, why would I want to meditate? I don't care about all this stuff. Some people say that, but I don't believe they say it for real because, meditation is your natural state. So you cannot just deny yourself, you know what I mean? You cannot just say, no, I don't want to live, I don't want to be myself. It is yourself. No matter what practice do you practice, no matter what meditation technique do you have, if we will take you to the meditation being state, that is working. If it does not take you there gradually in time, I'm not saying it's going to happen right away, then it doesn't work, okay? So meditation is not contemplation. Meditation is not thinking about something. It's not bringing your mind somewhere or for a mental trip. It is a practice that will help you to transcend all thoughts, to transcend all emotional energy, which is called angular energy because they disturb your perception of the divine. And once you're there, then you get to the meditation state. So why would you want to meditate anyway? So I want to say that, first of all, for all the reasons that we have been saying up until now, to regain your true awareness of the divine state within you, but also to have a better life, to be happier, because you get in tune with the source of true happiness within you, with the source of everything, because everything that you want in your life has a divine source. The source from which you get all of the things that you would like to have is divine. It is not coming from people, from external circumstances. People in external circumstances are working for the divine. The boss in your life is not your boss. The boss is the divine consciousness that works the circumstances around your life. If you want more from life, then you need to have to be more. And to be more, what does it mean? To be more means to be in tune with the divine source. You cannot just go up there with your greed, ego, and selfishness and try to grab things around to have more. Because you're not going to be more. That is going to bring you trouble in the mind and emotionally, because then after some time, even if you could get something, you will start getting worried about losing it, for example, or about how you must keep it and preserve it. You should understand The divine source is the source for all that you want. And you, when you will get in tune with the divine source, also something will change, because you will only want what is best for you. You will only want what you're supposed to follow, to have for your highest purpose in life. That is supreme happiness, supreme contentment. You will find yourself in tune with your life purpose, and where your life purpose is present, then there is great success, because you've been designed here to be successful in your life purpose. You have to find that. You don't have to get distracted from what other people are saying, are doing, or they're trying to grab selfishly. You have to go back to your source, and from there, follow that inner voice, the great voice that will lead you there. So meditation is your key to have more from life, because you become more. In other words, you have the spiritual coin, the spiritual money, the spiritual resources that will get you from the source the seed of what it is that you want. And obviously, the more you go into a meditative state, yes, it is true, you can acquire great creative power, great manifestation power, but from that point on, we'll also understand that whatever you create might have a consequence. Therefore, better to try to create something that doesn't harm anyone, because a powerful conscious force that is put into action, and then from a conscious level, the divine, that has a great repercussion, because you see, the seed of it is deep. So yes, you have in your hand the great power that is yourself, and it's good that most people are ignorant about it, because otherwise they would destroy themselves right away. Once I was doing a practice, and remember, Yogananda used to teach these techniques called energization exercises. They teach you how to withdraw cosmic power into yourself, into your body, so that you can learn how to direct your energy wherever you want to realize everything you want. Because what is the first matter that creates everything is pure energy, pure cosmic power, and teaches you to do that through those exercises. The more you understand them, the more you practice them consciously, the more you see that this power is real. You have to do them with concentration and great intention, and then you will see what will happen. Now, once I was doing it, I wanted to test myself, and I said, let me try to see how much power I can gain into myself with these practices. So I started to practice them, and I remember I was in London. I was starting to practice them, and at some point, at the end of the practice, I felt a huge amount of energy growing, and I felt myself totally huge, enormous, enormous, a sensation that I never felt before in my life. So huge and enormous, and it was not just a mere perception or whatever you might think it could be. I remembered that many aspects of my own personality, and for personality, I mean the character, the personality that I've developed in my life, that comes from likes and dislikes, from a dual perception of life. So therefore, all this personality came out, and at that point, not only did the good things came out, also the bad things came out. And I was totally witnessing them within me. And I realized at that point, oh my, if I use this power now in the wrong direction, it's going to have consequences. Therefore, I'm going to start praying for the world. The best way to do something, to apply energy into that direction, is into that direction. You never get wrong. You never get wrong. We need to learn, nevertheless, how to deal with this power for our own good, for the good of other people. Now it has come the time where we have to understand that we are sons of God, sons of the divine, and from this point on, we have to use this power through the tools of conscious awakening in God, which is really important. So this is what meditation is about. This is why you should meditate. And obviously, once you start meditating, I'm not saying that you're going to find God, you're awakening God totally all at once. I'm saying that you're going to experience glimpses of yourself, step by step, And those glimpses will leave a trace in your consciousness that will never go. Therefore, once you start, you are into journey towards awakening, and nothing at some point will bring you back. Because you see, once you plant a conscious seed of awakening to yourself, you will have all the fruits of that conscious action, because that is a karmic action anyway, because it's happening here, before it will come back, and the awakening part of your own true being will become more and more evident all the time. So once you start meditating, you will not experience God all at once. You will experience it in smaller parts, let's say. You will have glimpses of it. And there are 8 aspects that you can experience. And I always talk about these 8 aspects because they are keys to see God behind every event in your life. These 8 aspects of God that you can experience in meditation, that actually experiences. In the Vedic tradition, God has these 8 aspects. Peace, which is the absence of all conflicts, where everything is at ease and at balance. Then we have calmness, which is a more dynamic aspect, even though it could apparently seem similar to peace. And here I'm paraphrasing from my book, okay? I'm going to read it to you. It is truth, very different from peace. In calmness, there is movement or some sort of action going on. The movement, of course, I'm talking about is a movement in consciousness. And in calmness, for example, you can clearly see and understand the cycles of life. You can understand how life is working, what life is about, why something is happening, what is about to happen. Okay, you understand the cycles of life. Then we have sound, which is the vibration of God, which is omnipervading. It is everywhere, and it relates to all different objects and forms in creation. Every sound we hear can trace us back to the infinite source. Every sound you hear, if you could listen deeply to its subtle resonances. Okay? Then we have light, which is the true dynamic essence of all atoms of creation. All that is created in life has a process within which produces light. Light as intelligence, and it's literally alive in itself. It is organically related to the evolution of the soul. The more we evolve, the more we produce light. We can see the light. This is important. As soon as our mind becomes more clear, as soon as you start getting out of the angular energies, getting rid of them, and penetrate deep into one point until transcendental awareness. Transcendental means just going beyond the angular energies, the emotional energies, emotional perceptions. Then your mind starts to become clear, and clarity of mind becomes when we take away some of the veils that darken our sight of the divine. The more we meditate, the more we penetrate through these veils and get in touch with the light. This light is God, made visible within ourselves, reflected in us, as well as in all creation. Then we have joy, which is the eternal bliss, joy, that literally takes our breath away. This joy is beyond duality, beyond the interchanging activity of opposite worldly phenomena, like good and bad, day and night, etc., and does not have bad repercussions. For example, after having fun at night, you got drunk, right? Then the day after, you usually experience some kind of repercussion, feel exhausted, or this kind of sadness going on. And this kind of happened all the time. I've seen it in many people, I've seen it myself before as well. This does not happen with pure joy, which is ever new and regenerating. It is a dance of life itself. It is the true happiness we're all looking for. Then we have the power aspect. And this is the aspect I was sharing with you, and it is an immense dynamic energy. When you feel and you experience power, you feel that your will, your willpower is connected with the forces of nature. And every one of your single thoughts or intentions, when brought back into this dual world, can cause massive consequences. So be careful how you use. But this is an important point, because the experience of power can be easily brought into the world and action after meditation, because it's so powerful, and it gives a strong imprint in our consciousness. It leaves a strong imprint in our consciousness. However, don't worry too much about it. Just know that this is a fantastic and divine power, and that this power is a part of you by nature. And sooner or later, you will get in touch with it. Then we come to love. Love is the infinite sustaining presence that keeps us tight together. Love is the attracting force upon which we exercise amazing magnetism. This love is purely unconditional and unselfish because it includes everyone, everything, and it is everywhere. It is the true abundance of all things because it connects you with everything. In what you love, you have your abundance. And don't look at who or what you love. Don't look at who or what you love. Just make self-analysis upon yourself and see what that person or object of your love means to you. What is it giving you? What's the value of it? Ask these questions to yourself. Look, what are the symbols involved in what you love? The circumstances and the people in our lives are but symbols of our true inner condition. You already have the keys in your life to perfectly understand whatever is needed to be understood. Those symbols are there telling you so. So I always suggest to take what you love in your life and go deep into it until you find the truth of it. And you will have contacted the source of it, God, behind it. And it can be anything, even the love for science, just skeptical. Doesn't have to be a religious object. When you get right to the center of what you love, you get in touch with the greater intelligence behind it, with its wisdom. And as you see, you know, all the eight aspects are strictly related because one of them puts you in contact with another, and then another, and then another, and another easy connection to make, for example, is that of light with vibration, sound. As a matter of fact, as we all know, even colors have different states of vibration. Then we have wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see things clearly, to have a clear mind, without the filters of the intellect, without angular energies of breathing. And when you experience wisdom, you know what to do and what to say at the right time. You know how to live because you see things as they are. Wisdom does not come from intellectual speculation. People who talk the way to truth, no, it's not wisdom, you know what I mean? They might say something true anyway, or they might say something that appears to be true, but be careful. Wisdom does never come from intellectual speculation. It's knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge acquired through intuition, which is direct perception of knowledge, which comes through contact with the source, God. It is this intuitive sparkle that usually generates a chain of creative and new realizations in our minds. You always have that. Sometimes it's called a satori in Japan. It's when you have this kind of sudden realization, when you learn something, when something in your mind awakens, when you just overcame a blockage, okay? So it is that intuitive sparkle that usually generates a chain of creative and new realizations in our minds until we get a conscious, clear view upon something. Through, you know, that seed of intuitive awareness that you just had at that moment creates all these beautiful sparkles that then turn into an explosion of awareness. And for wisdom to be involved, you just need more and more acquaintance with who you are and your true divine nature as soon as a son of God. And it is really important to understand that these are all experiences that you can experience in meditation, states of high, intense awareness, awakening to your true self. So peace, calmness, sound, light, joy, power, love, and wisdom. Now, this is because we experience God in one of these basic states before we actually experience its totality. And it's really important to know them because you know that when something like this happens, you just relax in the flow. You just relax into them, into the beauty of them. You relax and let go. It is easy to relax in that state as soon as you know this is what you're getting. Don't try to, once you have an experience, to have more of that experience. Just try to relax. Now, I want to share with you this technique that Yogananda used to teach to all his disciples at the beginning of the process into learning the techniques of Kriya Yoga. And the technique is the Hong Sa technique. The Hong Sa technique is a great technique because it will take the mind beyond angular energies, behind everything that is obstructing your perception of the divine, and will make you relax into a state of pure awareness of the true self. It is really important. It is a simple technique. There are three things you have to remember to practice this technique. First of all, you close your eyes, and I'm going to guide you through this technique now. Close your eyes, and you visualize. You bring your eyes, first of all, up as if you were going to sleep. Let's practice this technique right away. I will guide you through it. Sit down with your spine straight and your muscles relaxed. Then close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths, like, and exhale two times quickly. And another one. Breathing in. And exhale twice quickly. Letting go of all tensions, letting all go. Breathing in. And exhale quickly again. Spine straight, muscles relaxed, palms facing upwards at the junction between the legs and the trunk. Relax them there, shoulders down away from the ears, shoulder blades together. Try to keep the chin parallel to the floor. Try to have both of the soles of the feet on the ground, or if you want to sit cross-legged, try to find a comfortable position. That's great. I suggest you not to lie down for this meditation, as lying down is usually associated with sleep. Before you would go to sleep, but we want to be totally aware of what's happening. So don't go. If you think that by lying down you're going to sleep, then don't do it. Just stay sitting, your spine straight, your muscles relaxed. Close your eyes and relax your eyes up with your eyes closed as if you were going to sleep. But instead of bringing the pupils, the eyeballs down, bring them up. Once you're there, relax your forehead, totally relax your forehead, let yourself go and abandon yourself. Visualize at a distance, look up as if you were looking at a distance, up on the top of a mountain, and just relax. You don't have to necessarily visualize the top of a mountain. It's just that sensation, looking away, far at a distance, while your awareness is centered at the point between the eyebrows, which is the seat of the mind eye. Mind's eye at the root of the nose, and feel as you were penetrating that point into the infinite. Once you're sure about this, this is the first phase of the practice. Once you're sure about having this point, you will see the thoughts will tend to disappear as you're looking up and you concentrate up more and more. The thoughts will tend to disappear, and just be aware of that because they will try to have a hold on you. Just let them go. It's totally safe. Totally safe to let them go. And once you have this phase, once you have the first section of this practice, which is looking up through the mind, through the mind's eye, up into the infinite, relaxing your forehead, relaxing, then you start from that point observing your breath coming in and out on its own accord. Don't try to control your breath. Don't manipulate your breath. Just be a total observant, total witness of your breath, of your breathing, breathing in and out as you would naturally do without trying to make the breath different than it is. It is what it is, just let it be. And this is the second phase of the practice. Try to observe the breath. Doesn't matter if the inhalation is longer or shorter than the exhalation. It is what it is. Just let it be. Breathing in and out. Once you're sure about having these two phases working together, focusing at the point between the eyebrows, through the point between the eyebrows of the mind's eye, up into the infinite, and observing your breath coming in and out on its own accord, at that point, you can add the sounds pong as the breath goes in and saw as the breath goes out. Pong, saw. And if there is no breath, then there are no sounds, and that's okay. Just relax those moments of pure freedom. Just relax. having your consciousness centered, the mind's eye, going into the infinite, relax and let go. Relax into whatever good feeling arises from the meditation. And you can do this technique for a few minutes. Now we're going to go on. And to finish with this meditation practice, you breathe in deeply and breathe out three times through your mouth. Stay without breath, focusing on the mind's eye for some time. And repeat this process three times. Stay without breath for as long as you can. At the mind's eye, penetrating, looking for the astral light. Breathing in again. And breathe out for some time, three times. For the last time, focusing on the mind's eye. And then stay there for a few minutes, forgetting about the technique, forgetting about the breath. Just focusing your awareness of the mind's eye penetrating into the infinite, relaxing into whatever good feeling arises from meditation practice. When it's time to go, just slowly come back into your body, come back into the awareness of yourself, into the awareness of the room around you, to the awareness of the people around you, gently coming back, and slowly then open your eyes, very slowly, so that you bring more easily these benefits into your daily life. And this is the Hong So meditation technique. It is really powerful. Hong So, it means I-E. Hong, I, So, E. I offer myself into He, or I am He. What is He? He is your higher self. He is God. He is the universe. These two sounds are also in subtle relations with some sounds that are happening at a very subtle level in your astral spine, in your astral body, your body made of energy. They will bring balance into your body. They're great sounds. The more you do them, they represent sort of the kind thought, the kind of vibration that you should attune yourself into so that you can transcend, therefore go beyond all your angular energies. Now, you will see that as soon as you start practicing this technique, and please come back to it, to this meditation session so that you can download more and understand more. You will understand, you will see that the breath will slow down, always more, and will become shorter and shorter and shorter, and the pauses between the breath will increase in length. So what is happening actually? What is it happening? Your mind is getting relaxed. Your restlessness is getting less and less. The angular energies within you that are dragging you from left to right, from one direction into another randomly, are losing the grip on you. Therefore, those poses are representing and symbolizing your state of pure freedom from all angular energies. We have duality in the world. We have night and day, good and bad. All the opposites, and these opposites are symbolized in yourself, present in yourself, by the breath, breathing practice. As you breathe in, is one opposite, and as you breathe out, is another opposite. The faster you breathe, the more you are caught up in duality, the less you can perceive the divine. The slower you breathe, the more your awareness comes out, because the pause and the awareness of the breath, the conscious awareness of the breath, increases. What this practice does is to make you more aware, and at some point, the awareness will take the upper hand upon the duality living within you, bringing you beyond the opposites of life. Now let's talk about the physical side of it. What happens here is that the blood, as soon as you will start getting air into your body, pure air into your body, pure energy into your body as well, the blood will get automatically reoxygenated. When the blood is absolutely pure, because it's full of oxygen, it doesn't have, there's no venous blood anymore, it's just arterial blood, you know, it's full of oxygen, doesn't need to be renewed. That is the point where you can go beyond the body completely, because the body will not feel like it has to work all the time. It will just st- stop to be engaged in its physical kind of aims, let's say, or its physical needs. Therefore, you will stop breathing naturally. And now, stopping to breathe is not a bad thing. It means that you have transcended the body at that point. And I'm not saying that you should neglect the fact that you have a body. You should deny the body. The body will be part of yourself, of your life as at the moment it is. But you will have transcended it. You will be able to be free from it, which is good, because you will be able to perceive the higher self, what is beyond you, which is much more. I mean, the body is just the tip of the iceberg of what you are. You will come back. You will be there again. Remember, once you will get all the oxygen necessary in your body, you will feel a lot of freedom because you will start ascending towards your higher self. You will have a higher perceptions of all the energies around you, because automatically you will shift your perception from your bodily perceptions to the highest perception of the spiritual being that you are. Remember, Hong Sa IT. And let's move on. First of all, if you have great problem in relaxing, it is important to learn how to relax before you actually can do a meditation practice. If some people, you know, have a hard time to relax, therefore, it is not advisable to go into a meditation practice right after a huge amount of physical exercise, for example, because your muscles are still tense, the blood is circulating very, very quickly, and you need instead to relax. So one of the best ways is just to wait a little bit until you calm down and do some relaxation exercises. One of the relaxation exercises that you can do is to breathe in deeply with a double breath through the nose like this. And as you do so, you start tensing all your muscles, even make fists, and also you have to tense the muscles of your feet and calves and thighs and abdomen and arms, everything. Tense gradually from low tension to medium tension to high tension. Breathe in, tense low, medium, high, and then vibrate until the tensions is, and you vibrate with all your body at a very high level. And then you breathe out totally through the mouth with a double breath, relaxing the tension. From the high tension, you go into a medium tension, then to a low tension. So breathe in, low, medium, high tension, vibrate, and then breathe out, relaxing high, medium, and low. What will happen there is that the muscles will record that state. You will also, if you focus, especially if you focus on the state of relaxation that happens as you breathe out, you will start relaxing more and more because the muscles will record the sense of relaxation. They do this from 3 to 6 times. And this is one of the most powerful relaxation exercises that Yogananda used to teach before you know, starting your session. Breathe in, meditation session, and then breathe out and relax. Do this for 3 to 6 times. This we also gather enough energy into your body so that your practice of meditation will be much higher, because much more rewarding, because there's more energy involved. Another thing that Yogananda used to teach is to learn through a very easy pranayama, which is a breathing technique, how to start slowly to magnetize your breath up into the point between the eyebrows. And for this, he used to teach a very simple technique. And of course, there are more evolved kind of pranayamas, but we're going to do this one. It's very easy. It's called the triangular breath. What you will do is to breathe in for a count of, let's say, 8. Then you hold the breath with your eyes closed at the mind's eye, visualizing as if the breath is rising down from the spine as you breathe in. Then it holds, it stays, it stops at the mind's eye for a count of 8. Then you breathe out for a count of 8, visualizing, feeling the breath coming down again to the base of the spine. And then you start in right away. What it will do is to gently bring the energy up to the mind's eye. You focus it there. Then you breathe out and you bring it down. And as you bring down the air, you feel as you're centering yourself more and more. So again, breathing in for a count of eight, holding the breath at the mind's eye, at the root of the nose for a count of eight, breathing out into the center of yourself for a count of eight, and then breathing right away. Do this practice for six to eight times. I'm going to guide you right now. So sit with your spine straight, your muscles relaxed. Just let's try to do this practice for a moment. And the posture is exactly the same as the meditation technique. Feet, soles of feet on the floor, spine straight with your muscles relaxed. Palms up at the junction between the legs and the trunk. Shoulders down and shoulder blades almost together, as if you were opening your heart into the infinite, up to the sky, looking through the pond between the eyebrows into the infinite, breathing in. First, let's breathe out totally. And then only through the nose, breathing in for a count of eight. On one, two, on three, on four, on five, on six, on seven, and hold at the mind's eye. On one, two, on three, on four, on five, on six, on seven, and out. On one, and centering yourself. On five, on six, on seven, and eight, and in. On one, on two, on three, on four, five, on six, on seven, and hold, and out, and hold. On one, on two, on three, on four, on five, on six, on seven, and out. One, on two, on three, four, on five, on six, on seven, and again in. On one, on two, on three, on four, five, on six, on seven, and hold, and out. Hold. On one, two, on three, on five, and six, and seven, and out. On one, two, on three, on four, on five, and six, and seven, and eight, and relax, breathing in and out deeply. Now you will be ready to start breathing. What is important, breathing the Hong Sao technique, let the breath breathe you in that practice. What is important to understand, the posture is really important. Now, the trick is that you need to find a way so that you can have your spine straight and your muscles relaxed. This is really important. Now, if you're sitting for meditation, there is a small little trick that can help you. You can put a small pillow under your butt, at the edge of your butt, backward. So that will tilt your hip gently back and will help you to realign the natural curve of the spine so that you will not force the spine to be straight. Your spine will be straight on its own. This is really important so that you can just relax and go with the technique. Asana, it is not just the yoga posture, which are obviously important, but the important thing is to have a still posture. Effortless, still posture that will help you to forget the body, to go beyond the body. Okay? And the posture I've been giving you for meditation, it is important. It is one of the postures that are easy to perform, easy to practice, that will help you to forget the body at some point, because you will get to a point where your spine will stay straight easily after a few sessions, and you will be able to go beyond the body. Another important thing that I would like to observe now, that I would like to talk about, most people think and say, I think they are also right, and they have their own right to say that, a diet is important. We've been hearing a lot about diet and what to eat, what not to eat. Now, my suggestion for you, if you're not vegetarian, I suggest you just eat something that will allow you to meditate. Some certain foods that are full of toxins will make meditation very difficult. You know why? Because the blood will need oxygen to purify yourself. Therefore, it will be not so easy for you to go beyond, to experience what experience of the divine within yourself. Now, what is important? If you see that meditations are joyful, you can gently go beyond whatever it is that you're living, whatever it is that are your emotions, whatever it is that you're identifying yourself with, if you can go beyond gently, if you can experience the joy, that peace in through the meditation practice, then it's good. If you're not at that point, what is happening? What the best thing you could do is to eat something. Less. Eat less before going into a meditation practice. Wait a few hours. before during the meditation practice, so that you can have digested, drink plenty of water to purify yourself, and then once you feel light enough, go into a meditation practice so that your digestive organs are not engaged into the digesting process as you're going into a meditation. And try to eat less toxic food. Well, if you eat less toxic food, you will see that it's easier to be pure, and that purity will help you definitely go beyond your experience of the body, your experience of what is limiting you. Okay, what I'm saying, again, I'm not denying the body. The body is such an important thing, and I think metaphysical reality and spiritual reality includes the body in it, but you don't want to be limited by it. You want to experience your higher self to the highest potential. What is important here is to find the right diet for you, that will allow you to meditate deeply. If you can go deep into meditation, if you can still feel the benefits of meditation after some time that you practice your technique, really, if you come out a better person, if you come out with a better kind of feeling state, then it's good. Continue to do so. If you feel like it is almost impossible, then try to change your diet a little bit. Don't eat too much junk food. Eat fresh fruits. Eat a lot of raw kind of grains, and you will see something is happening. And I believe there is no a fixed rule upon anything. You just have to try to find a balance within yourself that will allow you freedom. That's it. Another thing that is important to understand is you need to try to have positive thinking. Why you need to try to have positive thinking? For two simple reasons. We have energies within ourselves. One part of ourself tends to go down. Another part of ourself tends to go up. When you actually do, what you actually do in meditation is to bring your energy inwardly, and you will see that it will happen naturally as you practice the Hong Sa technique, and the energy, when it goes inward, then will start to go up naturally. If your system, if your mind, body, soul connection is already prepared to go gently upward, then it would be really easy for you to experience what is high. If you are a very negative person, if you have very negative thought, you will understand that meditation can really help you. Start to think positively. Start to try to understand that negative thinking mainly happens when your energy starts to go down, and so does depression. Do exercise and try to bring consciously as you exercise your energy up. Visualize as your energy is going from the lower parts of your body up to the chest and up to the forehead on the palm between the eyebrows. And start to think positively. Start to say affirmations that are positive. This will bring the energy into the upward direction, which is what you need to do as you start practicing the meditation technique. That will happen naturally. Your system will be already trained for you to go upward. This is why it is important. Now, once you start to go upward with your positive thinking, the perception of the divine becomes easier, even to your daily life. You know why? Because we have two directions, two opposites in life. One opposite into the downward direction of negative thinking, of gross perception, is that it includes the fact that the veil between us and the divine, the perception of the divine for us, that veil becomes thick. It becomes really thick. But if you start thinking positive, because it's in the other opposite, that veil becomes thinner. Therefore, it will be much easier to bring all that is coming from the source into your life. This is why positive thinking, it is also one of the main tools to create a positive life, because it is not just the placebo effect that when you think positive, then you go, you create it by yourself. Physically, there's no intervention of the divine. Actually, there is an intervention of the divine, because you go there to the source psychically, first of all, and because the veil is thin, you can reflect the light of the divine can pass through that veil much more easily. In other words, if you have a window and you put thick canvases in front of it, the light will not pass. But if the canvases are almost transparent, there will be a lot of light passing. Therefore, if you're still thinking positive, yes, you will still live in the world of opposite, but you will also reflect the divine light into your life. This is why it is so important. If you are so much in touch with this divine light into your life through positive thinking, what will happen is also that as soon as you start meditating, there's obvious where you need to go. You will need to go towards the light. And this will happen naturally, without effort at all. So, thank you for listening to this radio show. I think next time we're going to talk more about this. We're going to explore more concepts. And so there will be a meditation 101. Two, part two. Thank you for listening. This is Vincent Sandee from Awareness of the Soul. I will remind you right now to go to my website, www.joycelestial.com. Let me say that again, www.joycelestial.com. Next session, we will continue. We'll talk about the eight limbs of yoga. We'll see how to apply them on many levels that are physical, verbal, and intellectual. Then we will see different visualization to attune with eight aspects of the universe. Then we will understand how we can use Hong Sao for healing, how we can bring the breath up gently so the practice will be more rewarding, and more we can gradually bring the breath up to the point between the eyebrows. We will observe other kind of variations for the Hong Sao technique, and we'll observe other kind of pranayamas and more. Stay tuned. BBS Radio, 10 p.m. Pacific. And I see you next Saturday. Awareness of the Soul with Vincent Sandee. Thank you. Goodbye.